Let's say an amen again. Reva, thank you. Thank you so much. I remember when I first came here. When was that? Yeah, last year, April. Oh, by the way, lovely voice there, Pastor Roach. Yes. Not the last time, I'm sure. last year, April, when I came here, you know, I saw this young lady at the piano playing her hymns. You know, she'd be playing the hymns. And I listened to her playing, and, you know, I said, yeah, she's very, very accurate, ensuring that she is, you know, the timing and everything is fine, make sure she covers all the notes, everything is covered. I have to say that from that point till now, I have heard development. I've heard development. And, you know, with every development, we just give God the glory. And we just want to say thank you, Reva. May God continue to bless you as you flourish. You know, I'm hearing Reva playing big on the piano. Big. Yeah, praise the Lord and God bless you. Remember, always dedicate those fingers solely, only for God's glory. Satan is going to come in somewhere along the way and he is going to want you to use those fingers to honor him. You tell him where to go. Mm-hmm. Your fingers are dedicated to the use and for the glory of Jesus alone. Well, let me just bid everyone a happy Sabbath. Again today, this our fasting and prayer session, and for the subject that we'll be looking at, the theme, which is forgiveness and mercy. A very personal subject to each one of us, I am sure. For the truth of the matter is, every single one of you have been touched by trouble. And by the way, Karis, thank you so much for the story. That could have been the sermon, and we could have said amen and gone our way. You know, we all have our dollies. We all have our dollies. We do. When those things are touched, it reveals the character. We have looked at two passages of scripture here. One in Matthew 18, 21 to 35. We're not going to go back to look at that. But there is the very familiar account to all of us. And when we read that passage, we stand aghast. And I'm sure that many of you who have read that passage or heard the passage for the first time would stand aghast at how someone could be forgiven for so great a debt, and yet he will strangle someone who owes him something comparatively so much less. Outrage would be our response to that. How could he do that? He certainly deserved the king calling him back and throwing him in prison until he was able to pay every penny back. Well, he couldn't. He could never. But then Jesus culminates that illustration by the verse in 35 of Matthew 18. So my heavenly Father also will do to you, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. And for me, that is beautifully illustrated in the account in John chapter 8. That is where my focus is going to be. John chapter 8, in this account, where Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. I just want to say this, that forgiving from the heart, forgiving from the heart draws us closer to the heart of the Father, who is always quick to forgive our sins, even when we don't deserve his mercy. The reality is, forgiveness is not easy. None of us can say that forgiveness is an easy thing. Well, it might come easier for some temperaments, but not so easy for others. So it's not an easy thing, but it is an unselfish act of love that sets us free from hatred and resentment and anger. So I want to treat these two passages with a focus on John chapter 8 today. Forgiveness from the heart. Go and sin no more. Let's pray. Father in heaven, once again, we are privileged to call upon your name. We are privileged to sit at your feet. We are privileged to hear from you. Oh God, what a privilege. We just pray that, Father, you will also give us the attitude to respect you and your presence here. To pay you the attention that you deserve. Let all distractions be put aside. Cause us to have a keen ear to hear your voice. And cause us to respond, O Father, to your invitation today. So speak, Lord, for we, your servants, are listening. Again, Heavenly Father, we pray that angels of the Lord will encamp around about us. Again, I pray that you will shut us in, O God. We need to be shut in with you. The enemy is always looking for ways to take our minds off what is being said. Always looking for someone to distract our attention at the point that we need to hear that which will be a benefit to us. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will shut Satan out and lock us in with you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. It is early in the morning. The hot eastern sun begins to beat down upon the city of Jerusalem. Jesus, having recuperated on the Mount of Olives, after a previous day of hackling by the priests and the rabbis, the confusion and excitement of the city and the spiritually hungry crowds, Jesus begins to make his way down the rocky and grassy terrain toward the temple. The temple that was the center for spiritual activity. The temple whose solid walls radiated the fiery rays of the morning sun. That glorious temple that was to be a light to the nations around, a symbol of understanding and compassion, a place where people could find forgiveness. Instead, this temple was a place where its custodians were cold, exacting, critical, unforgiving, and judgmental. But Jesus, the glorious Son of Righteousness, Jesus, the light of the world, Jesus, the bright and morning star, approaches the temple. The Jews had been waiting to catch her out. She was suspected as a prostitute, but she was never caught in the act. You see, prostitutes were not tolerated in their culture. And should one be caught in the act, they would be stoned until dead. But Jesus was on the temple grounds. Crowds began to gather from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south of the city. They came just to catch a word from the lips of the master teacher. The 12 disciples were there. The mother of Jesus, the crippled made whole, was there, as well as those of the 5,000 that were fed at the Sea of Tiberias. The Jewish leaders were there, along with the curious and the inquisitive, the skeptical and the hypocritical. Jesus, the all-knowing one, knew that in the midst of the eager excitement of the waiting crowd, there were those who were present that were not up to any good. Those were the Jewish leaders. They had in mind to corner Jesus and to find cause to condemn him. While Jesus knew this, he continued his ministry to the people that gathered about him. While he was speaking, There was the sound of approaching commotion that drew the attention of those who were gathered around Jesus. At the center of the commotion were holy men, hustling and jostling someone toward the temple. With scuffing and great agitation, they entered the temple grounds, and there was a thud. And as the dust settled, there lay in a heap a woman imprisoned between the emotion of embarrassment and distress, breathing heavily from her struggle and manhandling. Tears messed up the paintwork around her eyes. The mascara, the eyeshadow, the eyeliner applied to make her look more attractive and beguiling, now made her look distasteful and insipid. The red lipstick applied to her lips for effect was now mingled with the color of dust. Her scanty, revealing dress now took the form of soiled rags. And her feet, that were once so well manicured, were now dirty and lacerated. She was in a mess, and she knew it. She knew what to expect as she lay there with her back arched and her head covered, awaiting the fate at the hands of her accusers. We pick up the account in John chapter 8, reading from verse 4. And they said to him, those were the Jewish leaders, the holy men, they said, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?" In parenthesis, this they said, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. But how can you seek to trap Jesus? Fools. What do you say? But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. He wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear what they were saying. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up now and saw no one but the woman, he said to the woman, "Woman, And we were talking about this in Sabbath school. That is a very respectful, dignified title in the scripture. Woman. Where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? Looking around, she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That, my brothers and sisters, is the forgiving grace of God. Love and mercy in action. She didn't deserve it, but she saw her need, and Jesus forgave her. Let's switch the scene. There are those here today under the sound of my voice who are practicing sin. I am not talking about slipping up here and there. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about making mistakes and falling in sin. No. I am talking about practicing, consistently practicing wrongdoing. Knowingly practicing wrongdoing. You know that your life is a mess. You've allowed the devil to fool you into believing that you are okay and to comfort yourself with these thoughts. But the naked truth is, you're not all right. You thought that you will just have a drink here and there. You'll just have one cigarette and come off it. You'll just play around the boundaries of illicit pleasures and then stop. Watch or listen to inappropriate media just the once, or go to places where angels themselves fear to tread. Just the once. And no more. But now, you have woken up to the stark reality that the agents of darkness have a stronghold over you, and you have become a slave to the very act you succumbed to, and now you are spiraling down. You see your need of Jesus. You see your need of Jesus. But you're embarrassed to take that step forward. I want to remind you today, there is hope for you. Jesus is in the temple. Switch scene. Then there are those of us who are the Jews in this scenario. None of us can say that we have never acted that part before. Because we have. We have followed, or we are forward in accusing others and zealous to bringing them to justice. But often in our own lives, we are more guilty than they. Men hate the sinner while they love the sin. But God hates the sin and loves the sinner. You see, my brothers and sisters, love is slow to censure. Slow to censure. And quick to discern penitence. Ready to forgive and to set those who are wandering in the path of holiness to freedom. I've said it in the past, and I will say it again. This church here in Watford Town is a hospital for the sin sick. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13, I am not come to call the righteous, that is, the self-righteous, but I've come to call sinners to repentance. And let me remind us all that we are all sinners in need of the forgiving grace of God. You know, it's the old chorus that says, it's me. You know that chorus? It's me. Oh Lord, standing in the need, and we say prayer, I'm talking forgiveness here now. Standing in the need of forgiveness, not my mother, nor my father, not my sister, nor my brother, but it's me. It's me. Not my neighbor, nor my spouse, but it's me. It's me. I need to take stock of my own life. We are often caught up with casting down in front of our dinner tables and around our places of socialization those who have slipped and fallen. We have these individuals for supper as we discuss their fallen state. Yes, there are those who have committed adultery. Yes, there are those who have cheated or even stolen. Yes, there are those who are promiscuous. Yes, there are those who may well even end up pregnant. These are all the open sins that all can see. But the ones that the self-righteous of us commit are the ones in the closet where no one sees, we believe. But God sees. God sees. Yet we cast the open sinner out to be condemned. And every time we condemn, Jesus writes our sins out on the pages of our consciences. Every Sabbath we come to church. And in every gathering that takes place, we come bringing our stones. Did you hear me? We come with our stones. We come with the rocks, the boulders. Every time we have a gathering, we come with our stones. The stones of accusation. The stones of skepticism. The stones of criticism. The stones of condemnation. Now Jesus writes in the sand. Liars, cheats, lustful, malicious, adulterers, Sabbath breakers, gossipers, slanderers, unforgiving, bitter, resentful, worldly, jealous, envious, proud, robbers of tithe and offerings, backbiters, gluttons. Today, there is a balm in Gilead to heal and forgive the sin-sick soul. After all we have done, after all the condemnation we receive, after all the accusers have gone, it is always good to end up in the hands of Jesus. I want to say to us today that that stronghold that Satan has on us can be broken. I'm telling you, the stronghold that Satan may have upon us can be broken today by the rock, Jesus Christ. You know what I would have wanted to do? I didn't have time to. But in my appeal today, I'm going to make an appeal. You see, Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden with sin, and I will give you rest, forgiveness, and victory. I would have desired that before we came to church, we would have brought stones. As I came to church today, I was just looking around and there's a sparsity. Yeah, you might find one or two here and there, but you know, I was looking around and couldn't find any. But I'm going to ask you to imagine in your hand you have a stone. And I want to invite you with me to place your stones of condemnation, skepticism, and accusation at the altar. You see, when we go back and we look at the passage in Matthew, none of us here are better than the worst sinner. None of us. None of us. How dare we throw stones? I want to invite you to come. And as it were, symbolically, your coming is to place your stones at the altar. We want to cast ourselves down at the feet of Jesus and confess our sins. We want to claim the promises of Jesus. He says, 1 John 1:9. We know this. Let's repeat it. We confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Stop right there. To do what? Forgive. Psalm 103:11 and 12 says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth," we're talking about Jesus here. He doesn't throw stones. "As high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." As high as the heaven is from the earth. Do you know how high that is? Verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." As far as the east from the west. We want to claim promises like in Micah 7:19 says, "He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Do you want that? Time for those stones. Let the Spirit of God speak to your heart. You know, we speak the words of the prayer. And forgive our what? Yeah? And forgive our trespasses. What's the following word? What's the following word? Let me hear you say it. What's the following word? As. And that's why Jesus said in the final verse of Matthew 18, "If you cannot forgive your brother, your sister, and you will come on your knees to ask me to forgive you, guess what? It's not happening. It cannot happen. It doesn't matter what happens or what has happened in your life. Now, we are not actually giving a seminar here on forgiveness. There's a whole lot more to talk about. All I'm simply talking about is a principle when we look at Jesus and how he deals with people. Jesus doesn't have anyone up at his chest. Not one. Soul. And that
That is why in the story, it is so ridiculous. This one who came to Jesus and had all his sins forgiven, sins that he would never ever be able to repay in his lifetime and beyond, yet he was forgiven by the king. And this one who owed that one who was forgiven something comparative to maybe 10 pence would not let that one go when he was let go. So I don't know, and I thank God you're here and you're standing because you're saying, God, I want to be like Jesus. I might be the woman caught in adultery and I'm messing with sin and sin is messing with me and I'm spiraling down. But I want deliverance. Jesus will give you deliverance today. If you want it. Or you may well be like the Jewish leaders, quick to censure, find fault, accuse, condemn. But you realize that Jesus has been writing your very own sins out on your consciences. So, we're all standing on the same level platform, practicing sinners and those who judge and condemn. For the reality is, we are all sinners. But praise God. Jesus is in the temple. He is here in Watford Town. And by virtue of us standing here today, we are declaring, Father, the only one who has the right to stone me is you. But you ask us to lift up our heads. Look around. Is there anyone to condemn you? What do we say? No, Lord. Then Jesus says, neither. But it doesn't stop there, because we're not invited to continue in sin. He says, let's say it together, go and sin no more. And God can give you the power today if you want it. You know, when we look in John chapter 8, we don't particularly see the story that follows after that. But at the end of the day, you and I can write the end of that story. Let's bow our heads. Gracious God, truly, forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. We thank you for your marvelous grace, your forgiving grace. Thank you. We are standing, O Father, all on one level ground, all at the same level, recognizing that we are no better than the other. We all need you. We all need your saving power, your saving grace. Lord, we depend upon you. Save us, else we perish. We just ask that, Lord, you will give us the power to say no to Satan and yes to you. We pray in Jesus' name.